It is the Carellcast. I am internationally renowned talk show host Charles Carell Boulay. So very glad you are joining me in my little studio here, my tough shed in Park Howard, Long Beach, California. Park Howard should be its own city. It's my house, my home, Park Howard. We have a lot to talk about today. For instance, don't besmirch my princess. Okay, we're going to talk about that. Get off your high horse, America. Also, Chelsea Manning. Of anyone that should have a reason to go ballistic, it's Chelsea. Will tell you why. Also, and what I want to start with is the ultra left, because they are as bad as the ultra right. There's such a thing as being too good, and I'm going to talk to you about that. And news from Trumptonia, the first press conference in weeks in front of the cameras. What did they have to say? Let's start with, and by the way, you can join us in chat where I can read your comments two different places, reallycarell.com. That's where I prefer, reallycarell.com. And if you go to reallycarell.com, you will have a chat room there with some of the nicest people around, Denise and Maxwell, Cherokee, all these, this group that is forming right there. It is free. You don't even have to give your name, reallycarell.com. Join us in the chat room. And then, of course, at facebook.com/reallycarell. That's facebook.com/reallycarell. Congratulations to Stephanie Miller. She's on the cover of LA Weekly. Anytime a progressive or liberal talker is featured, it's a win for all of us. So congratulations to Steph Miller. Much deserved. All right. So that being said, I got to say, liberals, sometimes there is such a thing as too liberal. And someone has to be the one to step forward and tell these ultra-lefties, no, you're actually as bad as the ultra-righties. And no one really wants to do that. No one really wants to say that to progressives. But some progressives are out of control. Case in point, there is an editorial at The Advocate this morning, all right? At advocate.com. And the editorial has a photo of the pride flag, and it's got a brown and a black stripe added. And the headline says, if you disagree with this flag, then you're the problem. Well, I disagree vehemently with that flag, and I am not the problem. In fact, it is the ultra-liberals that are the problem. Okay, because liberals seem now to have no spine and they won't stand up to their own. Okay, I would like to say to all black and brown people who happen to be gay, the rainbow flag has always included you. It has always included you. It has never excluded you. It has never not included you. Okay, the rainbow flag has always, always included you. Okay, you need to know that. And so the notion that we need to some way add something to the rainbow flag is ridiculous. It's stupid. And all it does is divide gays. And we have enough trouble right now in the world with Trump. We don't need to be arguing amongst ourselves about something really stupid. In fact, if you search this back, I guarantee you it was probably a fake news site or a Russian organization that started this as a way to yet splinter more Americans. Now, I don't know if it's that liberals have grown weak. I don't know if we're what we're afraid of. But someone needs to stand up to the black and brown communities, including in Philadelphia, and say, we're sorry, hun. We don't need black and brown in our flag. Our flag is fine. You need to bring our flag into your neighborhoods. If there is a problem with acceptance of gays in the black and brown communities, then you need to bring this rainbow flag and display it on porches. Put it in windows. Let people know in your black areas that there are gays that live there. Because I'll tell you right now, I live in a black and brown area, and there are no rainbow flags in it. Okay, they do not display rainbow flags in heavily minority areas. And the notion that they're going to just by adding a couple stripes is stupid. The ultra left is as dangerous to our country as the ultra right. There has to be limits even on things like rights. You know, look, again, I am all for equality, but that changing the flag doesn't grant anybody equality. And in the article, this woman said, are you sure that's the hill you want to die on? Meaning this particular fight. See how everybody nowadays is fighting over every single thing, and they're doing it all in for everything. That's the ultra left. The ultra left is now fighting over every single thing that the right does or that anybody does. And they're in this mode that is just, it's not realistic, okay? And it's hurting our cause. And progressives are fighting amongst themselves still about Bernie and Hillary. A long settled dispute, they're still fighting it and fragmenting themselves, so much so that their only hope of any kind of semblance of regaining of power rests on a Democrat in Georgia in a district he can't possibly win because of gerrymandering, which is in front of the Supreme Court right now. So you have the Democratic Party being so desperate that they're pinning their hopes on this guy. That's desperation. So the progressives that are Democrats are in disarray and chaos. They don't know what direction they want to go. They have no real leader, and they're going to still blame the right for all of their problems. No, actually, Democrats are Democrats' problems. Progressives are the, you know, every day Steph Miller, who's on LA Weekly, goes on and supports Hillary Rodham Clinton. She is still taken to task and losing listeners from Bernie supporters. They hate that she is pro-Hillary still. And they're like, they want some love for Bernie. And I thought, this is why we didn't win in the first place. So, you know, I am not part of the problem because I don't want my rainbow flag touched. Actually, any liberal that would say we have to fight over that is part of the problem. Any liberal that wouldn't stand up to blacks and browns and say, we love you, you're already included, why don't you bring our flag into your neighborhood? That takes spine, and it appears no liberals have any. Okay? Just like no liberal will stand up to these Republicans and tell them exactly they're all, you know, by saying the alt-left is as bad as the alt-right, it's the same as they focus too narrowly on too few issues, and they refuse to stand up for the things that they should be talking about. For instance, rent and housing control. Where are the ultra-liberals on that? Where are these people who are saying, you need to add two stripes to the rainbow flag? Honey, unless one of them is green for money, then no, we don't. Because quite frankly, gays are suffering economically just like anybody else. And black and brown gays, yes, even more so. We need to be focusing on rent controls, on housing markets. But we're not. We're fighting over a gay pride flag. Cover of the Advocate's editorial section. If you disagree with this flag, you're the problem. No, writer, and I invited the writer on the show, by the way. No, writer, you're the problem. You're the problem. To say that anyone that disagrees with you is just so wrong that they couldn't, you know, you couldn't entertain the fact that it's you that's wrong. And that's the problem with liberals. There's too much high horse that they're on right now. Too much moral superiority. Our way is the best because it's just like the right. The ultra-liberal way for America is not the best way. Just FYI, okay? It's an unsustainable model that will not work. So we have to have something in the middle. We have to. Okay? Something in the middle. That takes people that aren't, you know, look, I'm the biggest socialist there is. Free healthcare, absolutely. You know, housing is a right, absolutely. Education should be first class and free, absolutely. But I'm also a realist. Corporations should pay for the education. Everyone that's educated in college tends to go on and work for a corporation, so why aren't corporations paying for our kids' college? They do in every other country. So, you know what, I'm a socialist, but at the same time, I know we have to work inside the capitalistic environment. And while we fight over the minutiae, they're stealing our health care behind closed doors. They're doing so much to us while we fight over things like a rainbow flag. That is ridiculous. The ultra-left needs to calm down, okay? It is as negative as the ultra-right. And progressives, you need to realize that progress is not just a word, and calling yourself a progressive means you actually have to be about progress, which means you're going to have to be about some hard decisions and telling some people to simmer down. Telling some people, no, it's not going to work that way. Like telling blacks and Hispanics, we're sorry, you have a bigger problem with immigration. You need to not worry about the rainbow flag and worry about being thrown out of the country. Or for blacks, being killed by cops. I bet gay blacks worry more about being killed by cops than they do a stripe on a rainbow flag. In fact, I want to play for you something today that I wanted to play for you yesterday. It was a black woman who is a member of the military. And she got pulled over by a cop. And her reaction, while you're going to think is probably overblown, you know, like, oh, well, she didn't have to be, you know, behave that way. Well, you know what? You're not black. And you don't know what it's like to be pulled over by a cop and think that you're going to be killed. She literally broke down and cried because the cop didn't do anything bad to her. She thought she was prepared to die. I mean, she gets pulled over and she's prepared to die. That's kind of weird. And I don't know what that's like. You know, I really don't. I don't know what it's like to when a cop pulls away, that you just cry and cry and cry because you thought you were going to get, you know, murdered by this cop. You know, on the ultra left, where are they on that? Just get rid of all cops, they're all evil. You know, that doesn't solve any problems. So the ultra left is as divisive. That's the word, that's what I'm looking at. It's not that maybe they're wrong about their ideas. Maybe their ideas are great, but they're as divisive as the ultra-right. When you have headlines that say, if you don't like this flag, you're part of the problem, and it's a debatable issue, no, then you're part of the problem. There are some issues that are debatable. And from the debate, see, we can't say that something's debatable and then not like the outcome of the debate. For instance, I believe that the gay community, according to all the comments I'm seeing, they don't want this added to the flag. Now, the politically correcties out there who do, that doesn't sit well with them. But get over it. Our community thinks that we've had enough, you know, that the change doesn't need to be made. So don't tell them that they're wrong. They're not wrong in this instance. They're actually right in this instance. It's not discriminatory. But sometimes a little discrimination, you know, it's not the end of the world. And you're going to be shocked that I said that. But what I mean by that is a unisex bathroom is fine with me. That's fine. We should have a unisex bathroom. But do we want unisex changing rooms? I don't. So a little discrimination when it comes to a changing room isn't such a terrible thing. You know, or at least doors where you could be private in a unisex changing room or something, you know? I mean, so within all of this liberalism, there are still boundaries and you know, logic. And also, you shouldn't be so confrontational about every single thing. For those of you that like me live, why don't you tune in at my website every day at reallycorell.com. That's reallycorell.com. Every day, right about noon, we go live. You can chat with other Corell listeners, and you can watch me do my thing live, reallycorell.com. Hello, everyone. Good luck with that. There's no room for hope in your world of fear. I agree. It is the Corellcast. I am Corell, and I am sweating, even though the air conditioner is going strong. It's because it really is hot. I'm agreeing with my chat room about the ultra-left take issue with stuff that doesn't help the majority of Americans. They focus on issues that divide people. And they say you're watching too much of Hannity. No, they're not. I am, as a progressive, telling you that we are our own worst enemies right now because we should be winning. Okay, there should be, this thing in Georgia should be hands down because even Republicans should be outraged with what's going on in D.C. And if they're not, there's a problem. Democrats, independents, Green Party, all of it should be winning, not losing, or not even in close races. Because the Republicans are enemy of the people. They truly are traitors. Every time I hear the news and I hear them speak, they're traitors. They're actual traitors. Mike Pence said that they should turn on the C-SPAN cameras when Obama was doing something. Now it's completely okay to be doing it in complete secrecy. The hypocrisy is astounding. I mean, it really is, like, hits in the face astounding. Speaking of hypocrisy, the segue right into Carrie Fisher. Leave Carrie Fisher alone. Like so many Americans, Carrie Fisher medicated her life her own way. You do it too. this moral. Now you get to dismiss Carrie Fisher as a drug addict because they found opiates and cocaine and, you know, whatever in her system. How dare any of you that thought that? I mean that. I love you all, but how dare any of you that thought less of Carrie Fisher because of her labs? Because if you ran labs on America right now, you would find a myriad of drugs, both legal and non, in a majority of American systems. Now, let's be real. We all like to medicate. Right, Ms. Emba? What you looking at the floor for? We all like to medicate. Every single one of us. Whether it's caffeine in the morning to get you going. How many of you need the caffeine, the coffee, or the tea? A morning cigarette, a morning joint. Whatever you need in the morning. How many of you need stuff in the morning? I know I do. I can't function without certain things in the morning. How many of you are the same way? Whether that drug is caffeine or whatever it is. In the mornings, you can't function without it. You just can't. How many of you are on prescription drugs? Perhaps a prescription opiate. So if you died, it would be in your blood. How many of you smoke pot? If I died right now, they would say liberal talk show host dies with marijuana and opiates in system. Oh, and if I had taken an Ativan, I haven't, but I have them. So let's say I took one, they would say, you know, Ativan, opiates, and what else do I take? Blood pressure pill. They wouldn't say anything about that. Marijuana. So they would say, marijuana, opiates, Ativan, found in talk show host blood. And somehow that's supposed to tell you about me. In some way, that's supposed to tell you about my character. It's supposed to tell you about my politics. It's supposed to tell you how valid I am, how much weight you should give me. That's what they're trying to do with the blood work like that. It's not for a better understanding. Carrie Fisher, her entire life, okay, had mental illness issues that she self-medicated. She wrote about it. This was not a secret. And like so many people that self-medicate, she used a variety of drugs available to her. Now, I am not going to think any less of Carrie Fisher because of that, are you? Are you going to think less of her because instead of coffee and cigarettes, it was, you know, a Percocet and a lime? You know, I was alive in the 80s. Everybody did lines. No one thought anything of it. It's a stimulant. You got to get through the day. Poof. You know, you go out the night before, you're drunk, whatever. You get up hungover, you do a line. Later in the day, you take a Valium to come down. You know, these medications work. The notion that you're bad for taking them is ridiculous. Well, she had heroin in her system. So what? It's an opiate. It's just like oxycodone. But more importantly, she didn't hide this drug usage. She didn't, you know, try to be some pillar. It wasn't as if Mike Pence, you know, or Paul Ryan. And what would we get from their blood? How come we don't have to know that? How come Carrie Fisher, who never affected your life in any way, shape, or form, except to enrich it through entertainment, how come we know everything up in her blood and get to make some value judgment based on that? But Donald Trump, Paul Ryan, Mike Pence, we don't get to know what's up in their blood. Supreme Court justices. When what's his name died? What was his name? And now I've forgotten his name. He was the Chief Justice, not Scalia, but when he died, they found out he was taking Seroquel, which is like Michael Jackson. You know, put you down like Michael Jackson. This guy was making some of the biggest decisions of our country on a horse tranquilizer. No one got, you know, we didn't get to be in his blood work until it was too late. So leave Carrie Fisher alone. So what? She did drugs. We all do in some way, shape, or form. And don't say no, we don't. As you reach for an aspirin or an ibuprofen, that's a drug, ibuprofen, drug. We all reach for drugs in some way, shape, or form. She just reached for the fun ones a little more often. So leave Carrie alone, okay? Just leave her. Honey, you might have heard that video killed the radio star. It didn't. It made this one an even bigger one. That's why you got to go every day and watch at reallycorrell.com. That's reallycorrell.com. Also, facebook.com/reallycorrell. Watch me live every day at noon. Hey. Come on, Miss Thea, sing! Time will tell. It is the Carell Cast. I am Carell, internationally renowned talk show host Charles Carell Boulay, heard live from Long Beach, California, Park Howard, my home in my little Tufts studio. All of this from a little Tufts shed that they built me, 12 by 12, but one of the best gifts I ever got. Well, it wasn't a gift. I advertised for them, but still one of the best that I ever got, and I thank them for it. All right, on today's show, we've got so much already. By the way, if you're chatting with us, it's at reallycorrell.com. That's reallycorrell.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That website's going to have an exclusive link tomorrow morning on my website, reallycorrell.com. You'll be able to watch my video a day before it premieres. So tomorrow, the 21st, you'll be able to watch my video for Stronger Together at the website, reallycorrell.com, and only at that website, okay? Starting tomorrow. Chelsea Manning, boy. You know, we were lied to by Obama, too, by the way, by all of them, because they all said what she, remember how horrified they all were at Chelsea Manning? Oh, my God. It was egregious. It's as if she had put us in the most mortal of all danger, that they were lining up their sights on the nukes right now because of the information that Chelsea had distributed. Well, according to a leaked classified memo today, there was a prevailing, how do I say this? The prevailing knowledge was in this memo that her leaks did zero. I repeat, zero. Cero. Zero. To endanger national security. The government knew all along, okay, they knew all along that her leak put us in no, her leak, don't even, put us in no danger at all. At all. They knew this. And they still painted her a villain. They still sent her to jail, put her in solitary confinement for all but an hour a day for years. Okay, we're not talking for months. For over a year, 2 years. So much so that Amnesty International said that her treatment was inhumane and third world. Okay? You can look it up. We basically tortured Chelsea Manning. We made him live as a him. Okay? Then when he wanted to become she and transfer and transition, we made him stay in a male prison. Still, isolated, 23 hours a day. No human contact except 1 hour a day to go out and exercise alone. Okay? Alone. And treated like the biggest enemy since Boris and Natasha. Musenskwa. So, I don't know if you, I mean, we should feel really badly. Actually, now that this has been released, that there was no threat, no danger. I mean, don't you just feel horrible about it? I do. But nothing will happen. The people that jailed her, nothing will happen. Look at Edward Snowden. Why? Snowden should be let back into the country. He really should. Nothing. You know what? I bet there's a memo out there right now that says the same thing about Snowden's info as it does Chelsea Manning. Said it didn't really... the cutie, Snowden, all his information did was embarrass the government. That's what his information did. Embarrass the government. That's why the government wants him as an enemy. It embarrassed them. It told everyone that the NSA was snooping on us like a jealous ex. Okay? And that's why. So Chelsea Manning, and now I really feel there should be a movement to get Edward Snowden back, you know, to let him live in our country free of prosecution as a whistleblower, unless they prove that his information caused some sort of danger. There's no reason for him to be in exile. And the only danger his information caused, as far as I can see, was to the NSA and to the government and not to, you know, endanger American lives. So as far as I'm concerned, now that we know Chelsea Manning was no threat, we can't believe them. Okay, we cannot believe them. This proves it. They lied right to our faces, and I know we're used to that. But now to have it released that this memo said she was of no danger. So they knew this all along. They knew the info was causing no problem whatsoever, and they lied right to our faces. You can't believe a word any of them say, Republicans or Democrats now. You really can't. They're all just opportunistic, and they're all just going to say whatever they want to say. I don't know about you, but that's pretty embarrassing. You know, the things we talk about and we should talk about and don't. You know, like the Carrie Fisher thing. Why is it in this country, the minute we see drug use, we discount the individual? And yet we all use drugs. I don't understand that. We consume 80% of the world's opiates. We consume more antidepressants than any other country. Someone's taking these drugs. We consume more coffee, more cigarettes, more pot. So, you know, someone is taking these drugs. So who are these people to get outraged at Carrie Fisher? I don't understand. You know, who's the one on the moral high ground? You know, no one has any moral high ground anymore. Democrats don't have any moral high ground. Republicans don't have any more. No one does. Moral high ground in this country has just been lost by just about everybody, because now everybody is pretty much just a mess. Even the gays, we have no moral high ground. Now we're fighting amongst ourselves over our rainbow flag, a settled icon. The flag is settled business, you know? And now we're fighting over a brown or a black stripe in it that nobody wants because someone said it would be a good idea to put race in a rainbow flag? You know, we're arguing about all the wrong things, and we're so quick to argue now. Again, Hannah was having this talk, my friend, with over in Hawaii just yesterday when she was vacationing with another couple there. And she was saying that, you know, everyone is now saying people are too quick to argue about everything. Like Carrie Fisher. Oh, there's a big controversy now online. You know, leave her alone. Stop. You know, she was open about this. How dare, even, you know, her children have said, look, my mom was open about her mental illnesses. She was open about her drug use. Why does this matter to anybody? Why are you dragging her through the mud after she's dead because of this? So now there's a fight online as to whether they should be dragging her through the mud or not, because we have to argue about everything. Just everything. The sky is blue. No, it's not, because the sky isn't blue. The sky is blue because you perceive it as blue. It is not actually blue. To a dog, the sky is not blue. To a bird, the sky is not blue. To a fish, the sky is not blue. Because the sky isn't blue. It's blue because of what we have in our eyes. You know, the distance of the light and all of that stuff, reflections of oceans. It's not really blue. Take a picture of the sky with your camera set at regular exposure. Throughout the day, you will see the sky is a myriad of colors. So we really could argue that the sky is not blue. And nowadays, people, I would. You know, I'm all for a good argument. Believe me, I am. But you have to be arguing for something. You know, about something. And I've had an argument where I've totally changed my mind right in the middle. Alan Colmes made me change my mind once. God bless him. Rest his soul. I didn't think there should be a mosque at Ground Zero. Remember that when that controversy happened? And I thought, no way. Then Alan Colmes came on my show. Told me the mosque was several blocks away. I still argued with him. And then the minute he told me that there were other churches there, Catholic churches, Protestant churches, whatever, the minute he said that there were other churches around Ground Zero, that's it, changed my mind. I said, oh, well then they have to allow a mosque. So I'm not, you know, my mind can change. I'm certainly open in the middle of an argument to change my mind. And I've done it many a time. That's the point of an argument. You argue your side, they argue their side, you all try to come up with a solution. Well, not anymore. Now there's headlines at The Advocate that say, if you don't agree with this changing of the flag, you're the problem. Oh yeah, that's going to win me over to your side. Call me the problem. You know, yeah, that's brilliant. Now we fight, and we fight over really stupid stuff. Like we're fighting over health care right now in the Senate. They're fighting over your health care. And every time I heard one of their objections, oh, premiums are tripling, insurance companies are dropping out, it had nothing to do with you or your health care. It only had to do with insurance companies. They are changing our entire health care system because insurance companies want to rape the government for premiums. Insurance companies want to be allowed to drop people. Everything they said this morning about their objections to Obamacare were caused not by Obamacare, not by the legislation, but by the insurance companies. So what are they going to do to fix that? Punish us. They're going to capitulate to the insurance companies and punish us. Instead of punishing the insurance companies and making them reduce their rates, telling them, you're not going up on these premiums. If you do, we are going to just paper you to death. We're going to expect all of your financial records. We're going to drag you through the mud if you do this. So go ahead and do it, you know, Aetna. Go ahead and do it, Blue Cross. You're going to face audits. You're going to face this. You're going to face that. You're going to face regulations. We are the government. But no. It's like I said at the beginning of the show. No one is willing to stand up for us and say, okay, we know who the enemy here is, the insurance companies, not the people who need the insurance. But the Republicans are on the side of the insurance companies. So right now, they are sitting debating whether or not you deserve health care. While we debate, for instance, in the first press conference today, Sean Spicer, who's on his way out, was asked if the president believes that Russia interfered in our election, what 16 counterintelligence agencies now say happened. And he said he didn't know. He would have to ask the president. 2 weeks ago, Sean Spicer was asked, does the president believe in global warming, yes or no? He still says, I haven't had a chance to ask the president about that yet. The president can tweet about everything from a hangnail on down the line, but he can't be asked. Maybe Sean Spicer should ask him on Twitter. Maybe that's how Sean Spicer should start talking to the president on Twitter. Because it's obvious that if Sean can't go into the Oval and just ask him, hey, do you believe in global warming? Yes or no? Hey, do you think the Russians interfered on us? Yes or no? If he obviously can't do that, and yes or no is within 140 characters, which is all that Donald Trump can understand. So if Spicer can't do that, then maybe he should tweet him. Because these are just ridiculous things. So as they fight to take away your health care, as they destroy the environment, grant pipeline accesses, just do all kinds. Oh, and his AIDS panel said that they're quitting. Six members of his AIDS panel are quitting because they said he does not care about HIV or AIDS. So as we have all of this happening, what is America talking about? They're talking about, is Sean Spicer going to keep his job? Not whether they're going to have a job or not. They're talking about where Meliana is living and where Barron is living, instead of the fact that they can't afford to live where they're living. It is amazing the dialogue we're having in this country right now and how far away it is from anything that affects us. You know, people of color will argue with gays about changing the pride flag, and meanwhile, they're taking that energy when it could be used to, maybe make housing more fair and equal, maybe make access to healthcare more fair and equal, a lot of other things that need your attention, but not a pride flag. But liberals won't stand up to liberals. We can't stand up to each other as liberals and say, you know what? Your cause, you know, you're well-intentioned, but sit your ass down. You know, we just can't do that. I don't know why. We can't look at some liberals and say, you are well-intentioned, but you need to sit your ass down and hush because you're fighting the wrong battle. You're making the wrong enemies. You know, we can't do that. And now that we are at a civil war, it is an undeclared civil war. America is not civil. We are mean to each other. We are so quick to fight with each other. Road rage, they're saying, killed some woman out or some person out in front of a mosque. Not the one in London, but over here. I mean, we're just dropping like flies from things like road rage. 1,300 children a year are killed by legal guns. That's a big story everyone's talking about. Oh, 1,300 kids are killed a year. Well, that's nice, but I don't care. I don't care. How many people are killed a year? You know, if you're under 18, you're not special to me. Okay, a life is a life. If you shoot a toddler or a senior, to me, it's the same horror. Okay? If you murder a 5-year-old or a 55-year-old with a gun, to me, it's the same horror. So I don't care that 1,300 kids die every year. I care that 38,000 Americans die every year. That's what I care about. And yes, 1,300 of them are kids. If that makes you act any better, okay. But 28 or 29 got massacred in Sandy Hook and we did nothing. So what's another 1,280? You know, who cares, right? Are you watching me now? Oh, that was the end of A Star Is Born. I fell in love with Barbara Streisand. Well, you can fall in love with me every single day at reallycorell.com at noon. That's reallycorell.com and at facebook.com/reallycorell. Watch me each and every day at noon. It is the Carellcast. I am Carell, Charles Carell Boulay, and my sidekick, Ember, the LBC pup, who is about to catch her noon nap, aren't you? Yes, she is. She goes down for the count about 12. Oh, yes, about noon in here, and then she gets up and goes in the house around 1:30 when I do, and then it's sleepy by 2 until 4. Mm-hmm. 2 until 4, nap time. I nap every day, 2 to 4. I don't know what that does for my career, but around 2:30, I take a nap till about 3:30 or 4. I just do. It's something that's happened to me in the last 20 years. I'm not saying 20 years, 2 years, 3 years. All right, did we cover everything that was on my list? Let me just look, because I had a lot on my list. Carrie Fisher, leave Carrie alone. No moral outrage over Carrie Fisher having drugs in her system. She was open about it. She was a fun actress, a great actress, and a fun individual. You can't take that away just because she had drugs in her. Chelsea Manning. A new memo says what everyone else said, that he was in no danger. He didn't. His information did nothing. It didn't. It didn't harm anybody. So we tortured him for all that time for nothing. And they knew it. The organization torturing him, the U.S. government, knew that what he or she did no damage. They tortured him anyway. Uber is going to let its drivers start being tipped. Good, but I wouldn't tip most of them. No offense. But, you know, America's not known for manners, and neither are Uber drivers. The ultra-left is as bad as the ultra-right. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, extremes on either end, even extremes of good, can often be bad. The first press conference to come out of Trumptonia in weeks, and basically it said nothing except they're gutting our health care bill in secret, and they think that's okay. It's very sad. The Democrats have placed their hope in Georgia today on this small little race that this guy really doesn't stand a chance of winning. I mean, given the numbers in the district, he cannot win as a Democrat unless Republicans vote for him. So, you know, if he loses, which he's probably gonna, the Republicans are going to feel emboldened. And the health care bill will probably be gutted. If the Democrat wins, it could help us in D.C. in terms of just the mood. But I don't think he's gonna. And that's sad. We then pay. Everybody in the nation will pay if that Democrat loses, because the Republicans are going to feel like Mighty Mouse. And then they're going to, you know, say this is a mandate, see? And that goes to the other topic that I want to talk about, which is the civil war in the U.S. and how it actually is raging. We have race wars going on everywhere. We have culture wars going on everywhere. Class warfare, literal warfare, people being killed. People being beaten, killed. Their jobs being taken. Their lives being completely gutted. Look at Kathy Griffin. She is, yes, a victim of this civil war. I bet y'all have just forgotten about what she did. You know, now her holding that head just seems so trivial. It occupied the news for 2 days. CNN, MSNBC, all day, Kathy Griffin holds this head. And that was like the biggest news anywhere. Now all of her dates are canceled, and if they rebooked them, people would go to the show. But her life was destroyed in a two-day news cycle. And now she's spent to deal with the aftermath, and you all have moved on and don't even really care. I'm sure you don't care. No one cares. No one should have cared at the time. Los Angeles Times news alert. Carrie Fisher opened up about her demons and knew she wouldn't have a Hollywood ending. That's a news alert. That Carrie Fisher knew, as a mentally ill drug addict, that she probably wouldn't come to a great end. Okay. But that's news from the LA Times. In LA, where there's a heat wave in all of the country, basically, but the Pacific Southwest. And they say that all of the world is going to get used to these, because every place in the world is going to have at least one or two of these a year. It's going to be 123 degrees in Palm Springs. It's going to be 120 in Palm Springs, 123 in Death Valley, and so hot in Phoenix, Arizona today that American Airlines is canceling their flights on many of their planes because the planes are not meant to operate between 117 and 120 degrees. We are having a global warming weather event that is cataclysmic. People are dying, and no one's talking about it. They're acting like it's just the weather heat wave. No, this is part of global warming. This is going to get worse. People will die, and we're creating. And I heard this yesterday. Over the next 75 years, there will be months on end where humans will not be able to spend time outside, no matter where they are, because of the weather, because of the heat, and or extreme cold. And I said, that's the description of an uninhabitable planet. When you can't leave your compound, you know, you can't leave the air-conditioned, climate-controlled area that you're in, except in another climate-controlled thing to go to another climate-controlled area, that's called an uninhabitable planet. So right under our noses, right in a thing called a weather report, they are pointing out that our planet is becoming uninhabitable. Wow. That's really just what else can be said except wow. I am Carell. It's Tuesday, June 20th. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, 1200 hours Pacific Standard Time. Be here or be square. I am Carell. Be who you want to be. So long, doesn't hurt anybody. Thanks for being here.
You're listening to The Carell Show. Carell. or involve me in any way.
Don't brief him. Don't involve him. It is Sessions.
Fact, they have not.
He is up there testifying. It is the Krell cast. If you're watching the video. Oh, he's snorting cocaine. Did you hear that?
Not because
I'm holding a mic for him so I can have exclusive coverage if you're watching on the
any
video.
Belief that
I keep hitting him
in
the damn face. I'll strike him on his forehead every time he's wrong. I bless
but because
bless
a Department of Justice regulation.
Keep calling him Comey.
28 CFR 45.2, I felt required. That regulation.
He just quoted whenever you quote regulations and things, you're guilty.
Not
well, according to such and such 1432.47, I am not.
They served as a campaign advisor.
Mm.
So the scope of my recusal, however, does not and cannot interfere with my ability to oversee the Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. Including the FBI, which has an $8 billion budget and 35,000 employees.
34,999.
My concerns and those of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein about the ongoing leadership issues at the FBI, as stated in my letter
ongoing
recommending the
issues.
Removal of Mr. Comey, along with the Deputy Attorney General's memorandum on that issue. Which have been released publicly by the White House, those represent a clear statement of my views. I adopted Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein's points that he made in his memorandum and made my recommendation.
Mm.
It is absurd, frankly, to suggest that a recusal from a single specific investigation would render the Attorney General unable to manage the leadership of the various Department of Justice law enforcement components that conduct thousands of investigations.
Absurd.
Finally, during his testimony, Mr. Comey discussed a conversation that he and I had about the meeting Mr. Comey had with the President.
Here it comes.
I'm happy to share with the committee my recollection of that conversation I had with Mr. Comey.
Here it comes.
Following a routine morning threat briefing, Mr. Comey spoke to me and my chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
While he did not provide me with any of the substance of his conversation with the president, apparently the day before, Mr. Comey expressed concern about proper communications protocol with the White House and with the president.
Mm-hmm.
I responded. He didn't recall this, but I responded to his comment by agreeing that the FBI and the Department of Justice needed to be careful to follow department policies regarding appropriate contacts with the White House. Mr. Comey had served in the department for better than two decades, and I was confident that he understood and would abide by the well-established rules limiting communications with the White House, especially about ongoing investigations.
But did he tell you he didn't want to be alone with the president? Yes or no?
My comments encouraged him to do just that, and indeed, as I understand it, he in fact did that. Our Department of Justice rules on proper communications between the department and the White House have been in place for years. Mr. Comey well knew them. I thought and assumed correctly that he complied with them.
Hmm.
So I'll finish with this. I recuse myself from any investigation into the campaign for president, but I did not recuse myself from defending my honor against scurrilous and false allegations.
Lies.
At all times throughout the course of the campaign.
I am not a crook.
The confirmation
process. I did not sleep with that woman.
And since becoming
I never had
general,
sex with them. No,
I
it wasn't me. I didn't do it.
Myself mm-hmm. to the highest standards. I've earned a reputation.
What is that lady
that
behind him drinking? Iced
at
tea?
At home and in this
with
body,
a red straw?
I believe, over decades of performance.
Oh.
The people of
you
this
have to trust me because of my reputation.
An honest and transparent government.
I see.
And that's what we're giving them. This president wants to focus on the people of this country to ensure they are treated fairly and kept safe.
Ah.
The Trump agenda is to improve the lives of the American people.
The Trump agenda.
I know some have different ways of achieving this and different agendas.
Is to have people sit around and praise
agenda,
him, like yesterday.
It's one I share. Importantly, as Attorney General, I have a responsibility to enforce the laws of this nation, to protect this country from its enemies, and to ensure the fair administration of justice. And I intend to work every day with our fine team and the superb professionals in the Department of Justice to advance the important work we have to do. These false attacks.
False attacks.
The innuendos.
Innuendos.
Leaks, you can be sure, will not intimidate me. In fact, these events have only strengthened my resolve to fulfill my duty. My duty to reduce crime.
Reduce crime.
Support our federal,
well, what if you're committing it, honey?
Law enforcement officers.
What if you're the criminal?
Streets every day.
I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not one
just
to judge,
last
but
week, it was reported that overdose deaths in this country
opiates
are rising faster
you're going
than
to opiates
ever recorded. Last year was 52,000.
Where's the frickin'
New York
Percocet?
Times
somebody
just estimated next year will be 62,000.
This man's up here colluding with Russia and everything. He wants to talk about opioid addiction. Have you gone John McCain senile?
Since 1968.
Somebody give me a drug. I need a new drug. I need a Percocet. Give me a doll. I need a doll, baby,
gangs,
a doll. I'm
going to
slap him again. Should I slap him again? In the chat room, those of you that are watching the video, should I, in fact, give him a good slap again for just all these lies?
No matter who they are or where
they
live,
I want to,
has the right to be safe in their homes and communities.
Come on.
And I will
somebody
not
tell
be deterred.
Me. Somebody tell me to lay one right on his cheek like your mama did when you would swear.
From its
Come
vital
on.
Mission.
Somebody.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ranking,
hurry.
Member Warner.
Okay, as soon as we get him again.
Here before you today,
ready? And?
And I will do my best.
How dare you? What?
General Sessions, thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you for that testimony.
Senator Sessions, thank you for that ridiculous
like
amount of defense of yourself.
For members, the chair and the vice chairman will be recognized for 10 minutes. Members will be recognized for 5 minutes.
Okay, we'd like to thank you for the ridiculousness of what you just said. We would like to thank you for coming in today and telling us how completely and totally honest and forthcoming and marvelous you are. Thank you for coming here and telling us you did nothing absolutely wrong, for telling us that you light up our lives, colleague. Oh, thank you, colleague, for coming in and reminding us that we were once your colleagues, and as such, how dare us question you with all of this experience. Oh, I am so sorry we had to drag you in here, and thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. Now let's go out back and teabag, shall we? What? I'm sorry, what? Are you nodding yes?
Remember whether Ambassador Kislyak was there, the Russian ambassador. Is that correct?
I did not remember that.
I can't hear him. What
I did
you
not
say?
Remember that, but I understand he was there, and so I don't doubt that he was.
A Russian ambassador is where you're
correct
at, fact, and you don't know, and you're about to be Attorney General, or you are Attorney General. I didn't know he was on the guest list. Room. Who am I?
But you never remember having a conversation or a meeting with Ambassador Kislyak?
I do not.
And you don't remember that.
In that event, was there ever a private room setting?
Ever a private room? Did you go to a back room with the Russian ambassador?
In? No.
With you didn't?
Other
Are you
than
sure?
The reception area that was shut off from, I guess, the main crowd.
So what you're saying is
you... A couple of dozen, 2 to 3 dozen people.
So what you're saying is you did it in the reception like this, area? The is that what you're saying?
Hands.
You actually had sex
yes,
with the Russian ambassador?
Yes, he came in and shook
hands. He came?
Okay. You mentioned that there were some staff that were with you at that event.
My legislative director at the time.
What about your staff?
Who was a retired U.S. Army colonel who served on the Armed Services staff with Senator John Warner.
A lot of staff.
She joined my staff, was with me.
Are you talking about the Russian ambassador's staff?
Throughout the
How big is
the
it?
Events.
Would you say that you were there?
Would you say
United
that the Russian
States
ambassador
Senator
has a bigger staff
a
than the president of the United States? I'm just
event.
Asking.
I came there as a interested person, very anxious to see how President Trump would do in his first major foreign policy address.
Well, how'd he do? Was he bigger or was the Russian ambassador?
That would maybe be at the Jewish AIPAC event.
Oh, so he's cut.
So it was an interesting time for me to observe his delivery and the message he would make. That was
and how was his delivery
being there.
To the
and
Russian ambassador with his staff?
With Ambassador Kislyak, one in July on the sidelines of the Republican convention, I believe, and one in September in your Senate
Why are you staring
office.
At me? What? Stop staring at me, Sessions. Quit it.
Have you had any other interactions with
Look
government
away.
Officials
just, you know, turn your
over
head. Okay,
the
here, move
year
it a little to the
in
side
a campaign capacity?
Y'all need to watch this
I'm
video
not,
today.
I'm not asking
this,
you
for those of you that just listen
like,
to the show, you need to go to Facebook capacity. And watch the video.
No, Mr. Chairman. I've stretched my, racked my brain to make sure
what
I
What did you stretch with the Russian ambassador again? I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
And I did not. I would just offer for you that when asked about whether I had had any meetings with Russians by the reporter in March.
Yes.
We immediately recalled the conversation, the encounter I had at the convention, and the meeting in my office, and made that public. I never intended not to include that. I would have gladly have reported the meeting, the encounter that may have occurred, that some say occurred, in
may have,
the Mayflower,
would have gladly if
I had remembered
dangerous
it,
waters,
or if it actually occurred, which I don't remember that it did.
I have no recollection of something occurring, but if it did occur.
March 2nd, 2017, you formally recused yourself from any involvement in the Russian investigation being conducted by the FBI and the Department of Justice.
Let me
see. What
think.
Are the specific reasons?
Tell me the
that
really reason that you recused yourself. Was it because you're filthy as hell?
The specific reason, Mr. Chairman, is a CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, put out by the Department of Justice, part of the Department of Justice rules.
Yes.
And it says this, I'll read from it, 28 CFR 45.2. Unless authorized, no employee shall participate in a criminal
investigation
or prosecution if he has a personal or political relationship with any person involved in the conduct of an investigation. It goes on to say...
is he rambling like John McCain again? Even the photographers are asleep.
In a political
There's
campaign,
a woman mainlining heroin right behind him. Look at the computer.
Close identification
She's got a satchel right there, I can tell.
Official or candidate arising from service as a principal advisor...
Oh, he's reading us a...
Not,
oh, sweet
You
baby.
Should not...
he's reading
participate
us his...
in an
his,
investigation of that campaign.
Whatever it
so
is.
So many have suggested... that my recusal is because I felt I was a subject of the investigation myself.
Yes.
That I may have done something wrong.
You've got it.
This is the reason I recused myself.
Oh.
I felt I was required to under the rules of the Department of Justice.
You
and
had
as
it
a
for
leader
a minute.
Of the Department of Justice,
you were so close
I should comply
it.
With the rules, obviously.
So did your legal counsel basically know from day one?
Your legal counsel? Do you have legal counsel already?
Because of the current statute.
Well, I do have a timeline of what occurred. I was sworn in on the 9th, I believe, of February. I then, on the 10th, had my first meeting to generally discuss this issue where the CFR was not discussed. We had several other meetings, and it became clear to me over time that I qualified as a significant
person of interest. Suspect.
A principal advisor type person to
sorry.
The campaign.
I was
and
getting hopeful
the appropriate
again that you
right
actually knew what
me.
You were.
So this could,
excuse myself.
This could explain Director Comey's comments that he knew that there was a likelihood you would recuse yourself because he was probably familiar with the same statute.
Well, I think probably so. I'm sure that the attorneys in the Department of Justice probably communicated.
So you're not. So you're
Mr.
actually
Chairman,
now saying why Comey felt you were going
to
recuse
clearly.
Yourself.
In
instead of
effect,
saying, like Comey would have said, I don't know
fact,
his mind.
I
can't speak to that.
That.
But this guy
day.
Said, oh, yeah, probably so. That's probably why he thought that.
Any information
oh,
about the
campaign. God, this is painful.
I thought there
we're
going
to continue with this rushing probing
being able to
of staff
serve as
members.
Attorney General over this issue.
Members and staff and probing and Russians.
Have to
my God, I'm
going to
go to a Russian gay bar later tonight, all this staff and probing and Russians.
Correctly,
alike.
I believe. Not
but more of Jeff Sessions, a saint among men, according to Jeff Sessions.
You made a reference to your chief of staff sending out a new...
I'd like to believe my podcast is worth at least a quarter. So how about you go to my website, reallycorrell.com, that's reallycorrell.com, and join Patreon right there. And every month you can give us $4.99 for the Carell cast. Buy a podcast, damn you. I agree with Randy Rhodes. Buy one. Mine.
Fine. Internally of your decision to recuse, would you ask your chief of staff to make that
would you ask him
available?
To give us that
we
memo it is the Carell cast I am Carell. We've been listening to Jeff Sessions today
now.
Or trying
thank
to
you, Sessions.
I've been having fun on
have
the
you
video
had any interactions
which
with
is at facebook.com/reallycorrell every day
his appointment.
It's archived there. You can watch it any time of the day or night.
The email we sent out Mr. Comey, Director Comey, indicated that he did not know that when I recused myself or did not receive notice, one of those emails went to him by name. So a lot happens in our offices. I'm not accusing him of any wrongdoing.
Oh, you are
in
too.
In fact, it was sent to him and to his name.
Okay. General Sessions, as you said,
get to the Democrat. Someone, please, get
to
the Democrat
about his interactions with the president. In some
cases, Mr. Burr, chairman,
those meetings, and
he doesn't look a thing like Raymond Burr. First of all, he's not in a wheelchair. How can this be Mr. Burr if he's not in a wheelchair?
Comey, and he had a private meeting.
I would be happy if Perry Mason were cross-examining Sessions. Wouldn't that be great if Raymond Burr were actually the one doing the talking? Oh, downward dog, Ember. Let's both do it. Come on. I'll be right back. I'm going to do a downward dog with Ember. I'll be right back.
Follow the rules limiting further correspondence. Did Director Comey ever express additional discomfort with conversations that the president might have had with him, because he had two additional meetings and I think a total
we do the
of
downward dog
phone
together.
Calls.
That is correct. There's nothing wrong with the president having a communication with the FBI director. What is problematic for any Department of Justice employee is to talk to any cabinet persons or White House officials, high officials, about ongoing investigations that are not properly cleared through the top levels of the Department of Justice.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a regulation I think is healthy. I thought we needed and strongly believe we needed to restore discipline within our department.
We must have discipline.
Here to
we
just
must have
those kind of rules, plus leaking rules and some of the
Sorry.
Other things. That
they
I
did
think
that yesterday, that
a
whole
bit
pledging around the table.
They all
wanted to
you
stand up and
have
go,
had
hey,
a conversation with the president hey, about the investigation because you were never briefed on the investigation.
That is correct. I would note.
So, Mr. Sessions, let me get this straight. You just said that you didn't know about the investigation, so you're the only person in America that doesn't read the New York Times.
I believe there are as many as six such meetings. Several of them he had with President Trump. I think he had two with
President
Obama.
So
it's not improper per se, but it would not be justified for a department official to share information about an ongoing investigation without prior review and clearance from above.
General Sessions, just one last question.
Oh, thank God.
You were the chair of this foreign policy team for the Trump campaign. To the best of your knowledge, did that team ever meet?
Are you wearing a Depends?
We met a couple of times, maybe.
Some
of the people did.
We should break.
But we never functioned, frankly, Mr. Chairman, as a coherent team.
Well, because you're not. We never functioned as a coherent because we're not coherent.
Of that team you never met?
Yes.
Okay. Vice Chairman.
Vice Chairman. Democrat.
Thank you, General Sessions. As I mentioned in my opening statement, we appreciate your appearance here, but we do see this as the first step. And I would just like to get your commitment that you will agree to make yourself available as the committee needs in the weeks and months ahead.
Senator Warner, I will commit to appear before this committee and other committees as appropriate. I don't think it's good policy to continually bring cabinet members or the attorney general for multiple committees going over the same things over and over.
I know other members of the Judiciary Committee or Appropriations Committee may want to raise those issues. But let me just ask about this committee.
I just gave you my answer,
thank
Mr.
you.
Oh,
what about, can we
already
also give
fighting.
You a commitment, since there will be questions about some of these meetings that took place or not, that we could get access to documents or memoranda or your day book or something so we can...
Mr. Chairman, we will be glad to provide
appropriate
responses to
what he deems appropriate.
Review them carefully and try to be responsive.
Yesterday, a friend
Mr.
of
Warner.
The president was reported to suggesting that President Trump was considering removing Director Mueller as special counsel. Do you have confidence in Director Mueller's ability to conduct his investigation fairly and impartially?
Well, first, I don't know about these reports and have no basis to
but
ascertain their validity. I have known Mr. Mueller over the years. He served 12 years as a
FBI
director. I knew him before that.
Oh,
and I have confidence in Mr. Mueller.
So you have confidence.
Correct. But I'm not going to discuss any hypotheticals or what might be a factual situation in the future that I'm not aware of today, because I know nothing about the investigation.
Do you believe
fully recused?
I've got a series of questions, sir. Do you believe the president has confidence in Director Mueller?
I have no idea. I'm not talking.
You're his attorney general, and you have no idea.
Now, will you commit to this committee not to take any personal actions that might result in Director Mueller's firing or dismissal?
Well, I think I probably could say that with confidence because I'm recused from the investigation.
Here's the Crowdcast. I am Crowell.
In
you
fact,
want to be
the way it
hurt
works, Senator Warner, is that...
You're listening to The Crowell Show. Crowell.